This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America, tonight a plane is still missing. Donald Trump is ahead in one poll as far as the economy is concerned, and Democratic leaders are coming up with an offer to Sanders, maybe some kind of a convention concession. Do you think he'll settle for that? Let's start with the DNC, because the most cantankerous possibilities now, ironically, don't lie with the Republicans, can you believe it? Instead, with the Democrats. Hillary Clinton, once again, getting bagged. So, if she does not prevail this time around, forget it. That's it. All bets are off. Bernie Sanders shows no sign of giving in. So, are they going to have an ugly conflict, a showdown? A face-off at the convention in Philadelphia? Well, the DNC is going to offer a concession to Sanders, a seat on a key convention platform committee. I don't know if it's going to be enough to stop him from fighting over the way the party's policy positions are. Now, there's a push for Clinton and Sanders and Democratic leaders to meet some of Sanders' demands for bigger inclusion at the Philly convention. They're finalizing the details by the end of the week because they don't have much time. I mean, we're like 70 days out. Here's his issues. He's pushing for a $15 national minimum wage. He argues that the party needs a more balanced position regarding Israel and the Palestinians. It's a couple of them. Sanders' supporters have become convinced that national Democrats have stacked the political deck with rules that made it difficult for Sanders to win enough delegates to threaten Clinton's nomination. But party leaders are so frustrated with Sanders, they say he's fueled that perception. So this is a nightmare. Over the weekend, last weekend, there was a lot of problems caused by Sanders supporters who prompted the security to cut short the state party convention. It worried party leaders that the prolonged Democratic primary, looking to avoid drama in Philly and et cetera, that they've got to do something. They're on the clock. So, you know, I don't know. When I say I don't know, I think you would really have to give something chunky to Sanders for him to say, okay, I'm just going to brush this aside, because I don't think so. All right, quickly, let's go to Dan in the great state of Texas. Hi, Dan. Dan, I know you're there.
Hello, baby.
Hey, what's up, man?
Okay, listen, I got a theory about that plane.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, remember when the Russians had that school taken over by a bunch of insurgents that were anti-Russian? I mean, they were Muslims, blah, blah, blah. But the Russians let go of a gas that was noticeable by nose or anything, and all of a sudden the terrorists all went to sleep. They went in there and they just whacked them all.
Okay. Right.
Now, I think we're going to go into an era where things like that are going to start happening with planes. I think they could get this gas on board and release it through the air system that they use, and that the purification units wouldn't pick up that gas. They would just keep recycling it, and it would affect not only the people but the co-pilot and pilot as well, and zip. That's why you do a 360 turn around and then zip, no explosion, boom. I think that's what you'll find. It's just boom, it's gone. Now, Next, talking about Hillary and all of that. Well, there is so much on Bill over his sex escapades in the past that's going to be hung around Hillary's neck that finally the pressure is going to get so great on her, and her numbers are going to keep dropping. She can barely raise a crowd now. They have to pay people to go to her events.
Yeah.
They really do. They have to pay people to go to her events, okay?
Yeah.
Now, listen, she's going to come down with a fake or maybe real, I have throat cancer, my doctors tell me it's terminal, I have to, for the good of my own survival, for the present, to try to beat this, check out. Now, then, Bernie, forget it, he'll have no chance, I mean, they're just not going to do Bernie. Who comes to the rescue? Joe Biden. Who does Joe pick as his running mate? Barack Obama. Who makes a very expensive walk for us to make money like gangbusters? Kate Delaney. This is going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to the future so much, but I think you will find that I'm right about the gas that took out the plane. I think you'll find that I'm right about Hillary claiming that her health is so imperiled that she has to drop out. Bernie, he will disappear either with a deal from the administration, say, look, it's like this. You can either keep on living and have your senator's job and be a supporter of this ticket, or you're not going to be around, period, because we will make sure that you have an accident.
Yeah. Boy, it's crazy stuff, Dana. There's no question about that. We're going to zoom over to, thanks for the call, Grim in Mississippi. Hey, Grim.
Ooh, I hope I don't get blown away here tonight.
Go for it.
Yeah, we got some serious thunderstorms going on. Got front.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. You know how that goes. But,
yeah.
You like that last week's suggestion? Of course, Dan's right about one thing. Now, let me just say that. You know, the religion itself, either, you know, you convert or you get killed. You know, that's just their belief, but, you know, Muslim religion. But you enjoyed that movie that I suggested last week, Kate. Didn't you?
What movie? Which one?
The Formula.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, you know what? It's so funny. As soon as I got off the air, I told my husband about it. I was like, oh, great grim suggestion. I mean,
I got another.
Okay, what's another one?
This kind of goes back. Don't Google it or anything. Just check it out. You can ruin the movie itself.
I know.
But the name of the movie is Soldier Blue. And you're going to see a liberal actress that's probably one of her first movies when she's about 19, Candace Bergen.
Really? And what's it called again?
Soldier Blue.
Soldier Blue. Okay. I wrote it down.
Let me say, it's real good. It's based off a historical fact. And
okay.
It's real good as far as a story plot that goes along to a historical fact. It's not really a historical fact movie. You'll catch that until the very end does it really get historical. And it's
Ooh.
Not for the squeamish at the end.
All right. I wrote that on my list, Grim, and so did so many of the others. Thank you for the quick one. Stay with us. Coming up next, Diamonds, Mythical Places to Visit That Are Magical, supposedly, and the bathroom brouhaha from a different perspective. Stay with us.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to RichMoneyRich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to RichMoneyRich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to RichMoneyRich.com. That's RichMoneyRich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is, the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
A girl's best friend. You remember that old song, Carol Channing? I think was the first one to do it. But regardless, I know you've heard the song. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 80. So I like diamonds. I know some of you certainly have been shopping for diamonds, some of you guys that listen to this show. But how about pure-grown diamonds? Have you heard about pure-grown diamonds, and what does that mean? I think there's a confusion about what it means. And what's interesting is diamond production is going through the roof. They're talking about where it will actually scale up to. So it's perfect to have TJ Walker on with us. He's a spokesperson for Pure Grown Diamonds. And TJ, I guess that's the first question. If I say that to someone, they're like, oh, so that means pure grown, you must grow them in a lab. Am I right? How does that work?
Yes, they're grown in a laboratory. You start with a diamond seed, which is made of pure carbon. Mm. It's put in a greenhouse. It grows for 9 to 12 weeks, and then you cut the diamond, you polish it, you mount it, and it can get on your finger or your ear. It takes about 9 months from concept until you're wearing it. Here's the thing that I didn't even realize until I started working with the company. These are genuine diamonds. These are type 2A diamonds. Only 2% of all diamonds have that classification. So they're incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, you know, and when you, as what you just described, that process, what is the difference between a natural process, because that's going to be an obvious question, versus what you just described with the lab-grown process?
Well, there are a couple of big differences, but think of it this way. If someone gives you a beautiful lily or a beautiful rose, Do you know if it was made in a greenhouse or in someone's backyard? They're both roses and lilies, and they can both be beautiful. So at some level, a diamond is a diamond. Now, there are some important differences. Number one, these are eco-grown, because the problem with mine diamonds, according to Frost and Sullivan, an international consulting firm, is there's seven times the damage to the environment in a mined diamond. Think of mines and digging all the dirt, water, and air pollution. The other big issue, frankly, is all the social issues. Lab-grown diamonds are socially sustainable. A mined diamond, don't listen to me, listen to someone like Amnesty International. They've disclosed how so much of mined diamonds goes to fund civil wars, tyrants, child labor. Places like the Philippines, you have 11-year-olds forced to dive 60 feet deep with just a tube in their mouth. And kids die from this.
It's awful. It's awful. And I think a lot of people saw, you know, if you saw the movie, what was it called, Blood Diamonds, that whole story. I mean, I know it's a movie, but it brought out a lot of what you're talking about, where some people weren't realizing what was going on with the mined diamonds.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are asking themselves, especially millennials, if you're trying to, you know, put a spotlight on a major event in your life, starting a life, a marriage with someone, for example, why not do that with something that symbolizes love and peacefulness and something good for the environment, instead of something that involves destruction to the environment and destruction to people? The third big difference between mined diamonds and lab-grown diamonds is lab-grown diamonds are typically 30% less expensive, 30 to even 40%. So if you're getting a typical sort of one-carat engagement ring, a mined diamond might be $5,000. A lab-grown diamond is going to be more like $3,000. That's a couple thousand dollars more for a honeymoon or a down payment for a house or a car or any other big expense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a big difference, because you think of the markup on mined diamonds. So here's another question some would ask, I would think. You know, my brother used to joke that he'd see some women with huge diamonds, and he said, you know, you could cut someone's cheek with that. But how durable are the lab-grown diamonds compared to the mined diamonds?
There is literally no difference, because, again, they're both genuine diamonds. It's 99.95% pure carbon. It's 99.9% devoid of nitrogen. If you take it to a jeweler or a gemologist and they look at it underneath one of those glass things, they cannot tell the difference. Again, think of it as someone brings you beautiful roses or beautiful lilies. Can you tell if it was grown in a greenhouse versus someone's backyard? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. It's interesting, too, because I was sent some statistics on this, and there was a study, as you know, that was done by the PhD Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and they talk about, in this, the production of lab-grown diamonds, and they say it's going to scale up to 20 million carats by 2030. You mentioned millennials. Is that part of the reason why?
Yes. Increasingly these days, millennials really don't want to be associated with something that's wildly destructive to the environment the way mined diamonds are. They don't really want their money going directly or indirectly to support tyrants, dictators, and child labor. So that's one of the huge attractions driving the increase in lab-grown diamonds and the pure-grown diamonds. The other factor, frankly, is just there's an increased world demand. People in China and the rest of the world see the United States, and they see old Elizabeth Taylor movies and new movies, too, and people like diamonds. And as more and more of the world enters the middle class, they want the things American middle-class people have, which is diamond rings, diamond earrings, etc.
Yeah, with the with the lab grown diamonds, is it still the same thing where I can shop? Okay, it's already been grown, and I'm just shopping what kind of cut I want, what kind of clarity and color, and what you would normally do with diamonds.
Sure, these come in brilliant and emerald cuts, princess cuts. They come in fancy pink, bright yellow, colorless, or white. And the best thing is to just go to a local jeweler you know and respect, and they, if they don't have pure-grown diamonds, they can get them for you. If you want to make sure before you start driving around town, you can always go to puregrowndiamonds.com and type in your address, and the website will tell you the closest jeweler to where you live that carries lab-grown and pure-grown diamonds.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Have you ever, I think it'd be cool to see it go from the, to be in that lab, frankly, and to see it go from when it's being grown to the end product. I mean, that would be neat to watch that process. Have you seen the process?
I haven't, but again, we're talking about, the whole process is about 9 months long.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
process in the greenhouse is 9 to 12 weeks. So
wow.
the process is interesting. As far as looking at any 1 second, it's, you know, it is a slow process.
Yeah, slow process, but it has to be really cool to see that. All right, we're going to get the show somewhere where we can get near the watching the diamonds grow. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. Do you have a favorite cut of diamond? Princess cut, right?
I have purchased princess cut and brilliant cut myself.
I know, it's so complicated. All right, a lot of fun. TJ, thanks so much, TJ Walker.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Wow, interesting talking to TJ about it. I know, I'm fascinated by this whole process. You heard me mention to him how I'd love to see the process from the very beginning. I mean, in my head, it's like planting carrots, like planting something in this lab, watching it grow, and then, as he said, the whole greenhouse part. I think the significance here is the key things he said. Younger people want nothing to do with the mined diamonds, and that means a lot of what Amnesty International did, that movie Blood Diamond, the awareness of what was happening really is starting to hit home with some people. And you talk about the demand for diamonds by 2030 to be 221 million carats. That's pretty big, and how much of that is we're talking about that's going to be grown is so interesting. And I think that this will just continue to ratchet up. I mean, I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger by comparison. And again, especially when you talk about the whole mine diamonds thing versus that very cool, very 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 cool thing of lab-grown diamonds that are exactly the same. So there's no difference whatsoever between the two. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Jordan, who, by the way, was there during 9/11. Can you imagine what that was like? And so many questions. I'm sure he's always barraged by questions that he's finally put a book together. And I don't say finally, but he's put a book together called Desert Diplomat that takes you through that entire process, which must have been absolutely crazy. Thanks so much for coming on, Ambassador. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Kate.
So what, you know, when you go back to, just let's do this right at the top, because I know you do this in your book. Take us back to 9/11, and what was the first communications that you got from the White House, or what you knew and what you started to find out about what was happening in the United States?
Sure. Well, first of all, I was actually in Dallas on 9/11. I ended up arriving in Riyadh about 3 weeks later. But
wow.
I was waiting for my confirmation hearing, which was scheduled in the Senate at that time to be sometime in January. So I was actually at a foundation board meeting in Dallas for my farewell meeting of that board, and a member of the board came in early that morning and reported the attacks on the Twin Towers. And I will have to say that I knew at that moment my life had changed forever. So what happened next was I tried to get in touch with the State Department. Lines were clogged. I finally got in touch with Bill Burns, the Deputy Secretary of State, and they told me basically to stand by, and we ended up getting my confirmation hearing accelerated with the Senate. The head of the confirmation process was at that time Senator Joe Biden, and he agreed to accelerate our confirmation hearing so that I could get out to my post.
So then you get, that happens, and you hightail it to Riyadh, and what were the first couple of steps that you had to do?
Well, I had to find out if the Saudis were friend or foe.
Yeah.
And because 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, there was some doubt about that. They had been overall pretty good allies up to that point, even though we disagreed with a lot of their religious extremist views. But we really had to start finding out through our intelligence sources and otherwise what we could rely on the Saudis for and what we couldn't. So one of my first calls I paid was to the governor of Riyadh, Prince Salman bin Abdulaziz, who now is actually the king of Saudi Arabia. And his first response to me was that this could not have been Saudis who engaged in the hijacking, because Saudis would never do that, and it had to have been an Israeli plot. Well, of course, I found that completely unacceptable. A number of other senior royals also made some of those same statements. And fortunately, I was able to confer with Prince Saud, the Saudi foreign minister, who was a very close contact. And he made it clear that he understood what had happened, that indeed they realized that these were Saudis, and that they had a serious extremism problem in their midst that they had to aggressively deal with. And so we spent then much of the next 2 years dealing with it.
So as that, so when you come to that conclusion, and of course all the world was looking there, I can imagine you were on speed dial just about in every different direction, certainly not what you were expecting when you took over the post. So how did you sort this out as a brand new ambassador?
Well, I got some very good advice. I paid courtesy calls on all of the other ambassadors in Riyadh from other countries. And one of them from one of the Gulf countries said, a good ambassador has 4 ears and only half of a tongue. And I took that as a suggestion that I keep my mouth shut for a while and listen pretty hard. And that's exactly what I did. We also, of course, had very active intelligence sources through our own government and through our allies. And I spent a good deal of time dealing with George Tenet of the CIA, Bob Mueller of the FBI, and trying to get information from the Saudis. One of the problems we had with the Saudis was that we would identify suspects and they would go pick them up, but they wouldn't share with us the information they gained from those suspects. They wouldn't let us sit in on the interrogations. They wouldn't give us what we call pocket litter or the contents of the hard drives of their computers. And so this was a kind of a game of keep away in a way. And it wasn't, I think, that the Saudis were trying to collude with these people so much as they were very jealous of their own sovereignty and their own prerogatives. And so we spent much of the next 6 or 8 months trying to penetrate this wall of ambiguity and opaqueness and made some progress. And so I think we finally got to the point where they would share information with us. Then we had the problem of our own government institutions not sharing with each other. I would go to the Saudi government, the Ministry of Interior, and say, we asked you for this information 2 months ago. Where is it? And they would say, oh, we gave that to the FBI 3 weeks ago. And the FBI had never told the CIA. So we would have these almost comical, if it wasn't so tragic, episodes of dysfunction in our own government. At the same time, we're criticizing the Saudis for being dysfunctional with us.
Yeah, once of course all that happened and they were, and you're describing that information, once, and they go and pick them up, once you know it's Saudi nationals, also that there was a lot of blowback in this country, and you mentioned the great relationships in the past with the Saudis. Where do you think we are now as you sit from your seat and you watch what happened during the time you were ambassador to now with what's going on in Saudi Arabia?
Sure. Well, at the time I arrived, and as you, in the blowback that you mentioned, our relationship with the Saudis really was on life support. And I was one of the ones trying to administer the CPR, I guess. We made some progress. And so by 2003 and on, we were sharing intelligence very aggressively, working shoulder to shoulder and fighting terrorism. I think the relationship has now gone back into a more difficult stage. The Saudis and the Emiratis and many of the Gulf countries are quite angry at our administration for throwing Hosni Mubarak over the side of Egypt. They wonder if the same thing could happen to them. They are angry at the supposed red lines this administration set with Bashar Assad in Syria and then didn't follow through with enforcement. They're angry at the way we've dealt with Libya, with ISIS. And especially now, of course, with Iran in the nuclear negotiations. So the relationship is tense. There are not developed personal relationships at the senior levels between the Saudis and this American administration. And so I think all of this is really converging right now to make it a pretty tough time.
Yeah, how important is, as you saw because you were ambassador, how important is it to have those personal relationships? Because, you know, we'll have people that call the show, and I get it because we'll start to talk about the Middle East, and I call it the quicksand of the Middle East because of all the things that we're seeing, and they'll say, well, let's just bail out on the whole situation. Why do we care? Just keep them at bay. It doesn't matter. Why does it matter to keep up relations with the Saudis?
Well, first of all, let me talk about the personal relationships, and I think it's very important to develop these personal relationships. We saw, for example, in the first Gulf War, how personal relationships were able to assemble a very strong coalition that even brought the Russians into fighting Saddam Hussein. We saw personal relationships help when the Berlin Wall went down and when relationships with the Russians were extremely important. We saw it even in our invasion of Iraq in 2003. President Bush really bonded with King Abdullah at that point, who was actually Crown Prince at the time. Mm-hmm. And this allowed us to have access to air bases, to routes, border crossings, and much more cooperation than the Saudis even publicly acknowledged. So the personal relationships do count. Now, why is it important? Well, as I mentioned earlier, the joint combating of terrorism has to be accomplished with allies on the ground in the Middle East. We have to have allies. We certainly have no major ally other than the Saudis right now in the Middle East. And they're the ones who are leading the charge in fighting the terrorist elements that we confront and who are sworn to attack America as well as the Saudis. Also, we have a huge trade relationship with the Saudis. They buy billions and billions of dollars of American goods and services. They also occupy a very important geographical position. You can't project force in the Middle East without overflying Saudi Arabia, which requires their permission.
Right.
We have a huge naval base in Bahrain, which the Saudis support and are very comfortable with. We have other assets in the Middle East that require a major ally to help support all of that. And then finally, we have a relationship with the Sunni Muslim world that requires some credibility. The Saudis have the most credibility, being the home of the two holy mosques in Mecca and Medina. And we need that kind of relationship in order to, again, promote American interests in that part of the world. I haven't even mentioned oil, even though America is becoming independent in terms of energy. Now, the rest of the world is not. and the rest of the world buys American goods and services. And if they can't afford to because their price of oil has gone through the roof, then that hurts America's national interests as well.
Yeah, so well said. Pick up the book, Desert Diplomat. More information, of course, there, taking you step by step. Great stuff. Former U.S. Ambassador Robert Jordan, thanks for spending some time with us on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit-selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity shut off 9 times, but I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
When I was 15 and a half years of age, I had 2 large mercury fillings put into my teeth. I got very sick that day, and over time, the mercury exposure damaged my body. My sunny disposition turned to depression and low energy. Many years later, I understood what had happened, and in 1991, I replaced these mercury fillings with white composite. In 1997, I learned that the homeopathic mercury detox I did years earlier did not remove the mercury from my body. I began an effective means of removing mercury from my body. My digestion and elimination returned to normal, and I began to have my life back. From 1999 to 2005, I tested the level of mercury in my body, and each test showed my mercury burden was high. After 5 years on One World Way, I recently did another mercury test. The results showed my body is free of mercury and virtually all toxic metals. One World Way is very powerful for detoxification support. It has helped many, and it may help you. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
About this, who's the most iconic dead person either you identify with or someone that you know just lives on and on and on and is talked about so often? And I have a list of them that I compiled the last couple of weeks, and there's some obvious people that would be on this list, like Princess Diana. Constantly hearing about Princess Diana. James Dean, I lived in California, and I saw where he crashed actually his spider Porsche, and everybody talked about James Dean in California like he was the Pope. of the Golden State. It was crazy. And he still lives on and on. But celebrities are a little bit different. In our virtual green room right now, so pleased to welcome to the show, she's the president of Speak for Yourself, and she is related to somebody that I think might make the list as number one. We'll see what our poll does after the next couple of days. Karen Cortell Reisman. Karen, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
You bet. Pleased to be here.
So first of all, do you like the virtual green room? We spare no expense. We had that expensive champagne that you demanded. We put it in, just like Madonna, we put it in there for you. Had that nice fruit, that gift basket. You like it?
The martinis are especially great. And I love those three robust olives.
I love people who play along. You're fabulous. All right, so tell the world, everybody listening in the nooks and crannies, our friends in Sarasota, Florida, in New York City listening right now, who are you related to that's so iconic I can't even believe it?
Albert Einstein, that man with the wild and crazy hair.
And how are you related to Einstein?
Kate, he is related to me on my father's side. My grandmother and Einstein were cousins. They were also lifelong friends and gossip buddies. They had a mutual respect for each other. Both had a great sense of humor, and that's a legacy that I carried forward with those people.
I love that sense of humor, because everything you read about Einstein, and there's so much that's been written about him, and we think of the brilliance, and we think of, you know, so many quotes. Everybody has an Einstein quote. But you know the inside scoop. I love it. They were gossip buddies. So give us a story that only maybe you would know that's been handed down, that's part of the family lore about Albert Einstein.
He was a nice man, and he cared deeply for people, for humanity. He adored my grandmother, and hence when my father and mother met each other and they got married, the first relative my mother met on my father's side was Einstein. And the story that no one knows is that my father, a very quiet European intellectual, lectured to my loud and outgoing German version of Lucille Ball mom. He said, don't talk too much when you meet Einstein. He might get perturbed and just exit and go back to his work. But he did not. My mother was nervous to meet him, but he shuffled over to her and he put his hand on her shoulder and he said, Anne, I want you to relax. I'm a normal human being. I like to go to the bathroom every day, just like everybody else.
Oh, that's great. Oh, how smart of him to break the ice, because it would, you know what, it would be intimidating, let alone with your father saying that, but it would be intimidating meeting Einstein with everything even then that was out there about him. I mean, now it's crazy. But even when he was alive, there would be, I think, a little bit of an intimidation factor about him.
Hey. This was already towards the end of his life. He was already very, very famous, and he won the Nobel Prize. His years of genius were before that, and he was an icon before his death. And so this really was nerve-wracking, and he put my mother at ease, and they had a fabulous time on that first time that she had the chance to meet him.
Very, very cool. I mean, I think really he's got to be number one or two on most people's lists. I'm going to give out the phone number, Karen, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or shoot me an email at americatonight.net. I want to see what the lists look like for all of you listening as to who is the most iconic dead person. You also wrote a book about Einstein, or letters from Einstein. Explain that to us.
It's actually an inspirational keynote message, which uses personal correspondence between Einstein and my family in a message about hope, resilience, and brassieres.
Now, you can't just hang that out there. Brassieres. Come on, you got to explain the brassieres comment.
Yes, I usually do. I have to say, you have to just listen and hear it to to understand it, but I will share with you and our listeners that it's the story really of all three of them, how my mother, my father, and Einstein overcame great obstacles. And my father came from great wealth in Europe, lost all his money, and hoisted himself back to solvency in the United States because he was born and raised in Europe and came actually to the United States at the same time that Einstein did. But he hoisted himself back to solvency by becoming a salesperson, a traveling salesperson for bras and girdles. Girdles, priest banks. And so brassieres, he was the most unlikely, atypical salesperson you would ever want to hope to meet was my father with this thick European accent, selling, running around the country with his suitcase of 34 Bs, which is still sample size, Kate, believe it or not.
I love that. And you said this. You said he was an intellectual. So can you imagine what it would be like while he was pitching people? And he must have been good at it.
He created long-term relationships, which is what we all need to do, no matter what era we are in. And just like in the last decade, we've all, many listeners and all of us have had to reinvent in some way. This man definitely reinvented. So he overcame the loss of his fortune. My mother actually overcame the Holocaust. And Einstein overcame the consequences of his own discoveries. And on that day that they all three were together, really my mother was more helpful to Einstein than he was to her, coming from the background that she had come from. And he still suffered from, had angst over what he had created.
Sure. And then, of course, people and how they were around him. I mean, strangers when they would meet him. I mean, now we live in this crazy culture of you get your 15 minutes plus and you just tweet the right thing or whatever. You know, and I know there's different levels of somebody being famous for different reasons. But can you imagine walking in his shoes, what it was like when people would just encounter him? Because we didn't have those cell phones and people weren't taking pictures. But everywhere he went, as you said, it is crazy hair and he was so recognizable that it had to be there had to be some anxiety, I would think, to that for him, because wasn't he kind of a private guy? Wasn't he a private guy a little bit?
Yeah. Very much so. He all he wanted to do was retreat to his study and continue to do his work. And that was his primary goal. But one of the most iconic photos of him is of him sticking his tongue out at photographers as he's driving in a car. And can you image that in your head, that picture of Einstein with his tongue sticking out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, haven't we? We've seen that, haven't we?
We certainly have.
Yep.
And,
yeah, crazy. Your stories are just so wonderful. So if people want to get a copy of your book, where can they get it? Is it on Amazon?
I am on Amazon. I also speak about how to speak for yourself, so I have communication books at Amazon. My website, speakforyourself.com, would be a great place to go as well.
All right, speakforyourself.com. All right, you got to give us one quick tip. So maybe we're like Einstein and we have a little anxiety, but Karen, you know this, that eventually at some point in your life you have to do a pitch, you have to give a little bit of a speech, whether it's just a proposal of marriage or much bigger than that in a different sense. Give us your best tip for being authentic and relaxing and just putting it out there.
Easy. It's exactly what Einstein said to me that day, or said to my mother that day. He said, relax and be yourself. And what I tell all of my clients and associations is that you have to be yourself. You can be a little larger than life, but you need to be who you are on purpose. But let's go with what Einstein said. Relax and be yourself.
I love it. Relax and be yourself. Perfect way to end this. Karen Cortell Reisman, president of Speak for Yourself, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. And I vote for Einstein, by the way, as number one on my list. He jumped over Princess Diana for sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.